T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
The Orioles have won their fifth championship in the last 7 years.
We are entitled to defend what we have, and I shouldn't be put in a position to have to make a choice to play for another coach other than Phil Jackson.
Players and coaches alone don't win championships, and organizations do.
Jerry called me in his office and said, "This is going to be your last year. I don't care if you win 82 games in a row. This is going to be your last year here."
He'll always look for a theme for every season, given that it was the last year we were going to be together. In typical Phil fashion, you know, he had a name for it.
Last Dance.
So I called it the Last Dance.
Enjoy what's happening, because this is it.
I decided to have surgery late.
Scotty was wrong in that scenario.
Because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to my summer up trying to rehab.
Dennis hadn't accepted the role that Scotty wasn't going to be around, and we needed you to be more accountable.
I went to Vegas.
Everybody understood Dennis's impact on the group, and we understood that he had different needs.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him. If anybody needs a vacation, I need a vacation.
We're going to go get his ass out of bed, and I'm not going to say what's in his bed.
There's a knock on the door. It's Michael Jordan, and I hit.
All right, Mr. Reinsdorf, are you going to do everything you can possible to bring these guys back here to try to do this all over again?
I can only hope and pray that Michael and Scotty will come back and defend the championship one more time.
Here comes Chicago. 17 seconds from game 7 or from championship number 6.
Starting to drive. Hey, fire. Yeah! He scores. The Bulls lead 87-86.
Jerry Krause, let me ask you, you do everything you can to bring these guys back.
Well, you know, tonight all I want to do is celebrate and have fun, and we're gonna talk later on.
The Chicago Bulls have won their 6th NBA championship. And it's their second three-peat.
And I want to thank Jerry Krause for giving us the opportunity to do it. He had another plan, but he put it aside.
Krause clearly is grooming Tim Floyd.
And if this is the final chapter, what a way to close the book.
It would have been suicidal. Their market value individually was going to be too high.
This is a good time to go.
We give you 1 year contract to try for 7. You think they would have signed? Yes, they would have signed.
And this one.
Michael Jordan and the Bulls changed the culture.
And now it's all over.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
The 90s Bulls get the Chris Tannehill Goodfellas treatment on this 41st day of Scorantine 2020. And the whole mob is assembled. What's up, Dan McNeil?
Hello, everybody. Yes, there are bloodied bodies in a pink Cadillac. It's all right. It's in their mother's name. Don't worry about it. It was a gift. There are bodies in dump trucks with Frenchie on the name tag, even though it wasn't Frenchie. Yeah, it was a tremendous conclusion to a very entertaining 5 Sunday nights of revisiting some great basketball, and we're going to spend all day talking about it. I'm looking forward to doing that with you. I am refreshed. I had a nice couple of days off late last week. Looking forward to catching up with you and finding out what's been going on with you. What happened while I was away on Friday, I'm eager to get to. But
a lot happened on Friday.
Yes, indeed it did. But I think as much as anything, my takeaway is they really captured the bigness of what the 90s Bulls were in this documentary. That's my shortest description of it. The bigness was encapsulated from start to finish. I thought that I give it a passing grade. I didn't think it was exceptional journalistically, but from an entertainment standpoint and getting the message across to a generation that didn't live it, I thought it served its purpose enormously well.
I thought it was incredibly entertaining. It was exactly what sports fans needed during this pandemic.
That's a crowd pleaser.
Exactly. It really was. It felt like a RIP to Fred Willard. It replaced live sports for 5 weeks. It's the most watched sports documentary ever, and it was really entertaining theater. I have to say, though, Mac, and we had been talking about this for a few weeks now leading up to it. You were talking about, like, would there be accountability for Jerry Reinsdorf? We were wondering, the media had been allowed to screen the first 8 episodes, what type of fireworks were going to go off in episodes 9 and 10 that had been kept from the public. Jerry Reinsdorf's name did not get mentioned until 9:47 p.m. last night. 13 minutes left in episode 2. He doesn't speak until 9:49, 11 minutes left in it. I felt myself wanting both perspectives of the breakup to be more fully vetted and flushed out. Like, Jerry Reinsdorf says it would have been suicidal organizationally to bring all of them back. That wasn't pushed back against. Michael Jordan saying everybody would have signed a 1-year deal to come back. You talked to everybody. Like, where is asking Scottie Pippen, would you have signed a 1-year deal? Phil Jackson, hey, if Mike was in, would you have signed a 1-year deal? Steve Kerr, would you have signed a 1-year deal? Like, neither side at the end actually had their version of events pushed back on. They were just allowed to present their version. I felt very unsatisfied at the end. I
totally understand. There were a lot of incompletions, and that was a big part of it. Yeah, Jordan was the only reaction they got to what Jerry Reinsdorf had to say, and none of it was contested. He did admit it would have taken something Herculean to get a Pippen contract done, especially given all the bad blood. That wasn't mentioned. But I would have loved to have heard Phil Jackson respond to that. I would have loved to have heard Kerr or others respond to it. Now, the results game at the back end of it, it kind of backs Reinsdorf's basketball decision to blow it up. But I think it's just a matter of whether you feel a team that has accomplished as much as that group had, whether you owe it to them to let them decide and go for it at whatever cost, whatever creative way you can find Scottie Pippen, make him a Bull for life within the structure of the salary cap, and just, you know, whatever you can do. Did they earn that? I don't know. We ask for our sports owners to make hard decisions. We want them to be unemotional. And, you know, Reinsdorf, I got to respect that much of it, that he didn't let emotions get in the way of a business decision. He thought they were at the end of the line. It was clear Jackson and Krause were at the end of the line with each other. So I think he's validated. What did Rodman play in 35
he
more games?
He played
35
more games in the NBA after that. Here's the thing, though. It was just lame for Reinsdorf to say, oh, I mean, after it was all over, I went to Phil and said, hey, I'd love to have you back for one more year. Well, you let Jerry Krause muddy the waters all season long. Like, where was this when you're winning all of those games in the regular season? Where was this when the playoffs started? Where was this when the NBA Finals started? Like, I went to Phil and I hope and pray that Michael and Scottie will run it back. You only said that publicly after they won the 6th title. Like, you allowed such bad blood to fester for so long that it came across as too little too late. And I gotta say, as someone who was devastated that it was broken up, I did feel a little bit more closure to the fact that it had run its course, because I don't know if you read the unpublished memoir from Jerry Krause that Casey Johnson has been publishing excerpts from. Like, he published what Krause's vision of it was at the end. He published it yesterday. It was good stuff. And if you go back and you look at what happened with Scottie Pippen, the documentary had a fact error at the end. They said the Bulls traded Scottie Pippen. It was a
he absolutely did. But he got a ton of airtime last night while Scottie Pippen got a chance to say something nice about everybody else after other episodes accentuated how he could put himself in front of the team on numerous occasions historically.
Yeah, I there are reports out there that are pretty unsubstantiated, but that Pippen is upset with his portrayal in the documentary. Wouldn't shock me at all if it was true, and I will be fascinated when and if he speaks. Like, will he do a long-form interview with Rachel Nichols on The Jump on ESPN to kind of give a rebuttal to this? Like, I want to hear more from Scottie Pippen. I want to hear him.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, this our first caller of Scorytine had this. We got to find out what Scottie Pippen's thinking. Now we actually
want to
know.
Has there been any insight in asking somebody like Scottie Pippen?
It's one of those incidents where, I wish it never happened. But if I had a chance to do it over again, I probably wouldn't change it.
We're
in the rhythm method. We are really thinking the same way on that. We actually now want to hear what he has to say. When we were talking about Arturis Karnišovas, no one cared what Scottie Pippen had to say. Now we want to know what's going on in his mind.
Yes, I would very much like a follow-up with Scottie Pippen. I understand why he'd be pissed. And I will say also about Kerr last night, that was some powerful television.
Yeah, it was good.
For people who didn't know, and I can't believe how many people didn't know just based on observing social media during it. Like, I thought that story about his father being murdered in Beirut at the American University was so well known and honestly had been fairly well documented in the last 4 or 5 years, as Steve Kerr has been one of the most outspoken, not stick to sports people on issues of mass shootings and gun violence and all that. And he always has talked about it from that perspective of his father being murdered. So I was shocked at the number of people who seemingly did not know that backstory, and I just thought it was beautiful television. And one of the things that was striking in this was Jordan would break down in the documentary multiple times when confronted with the possibility that his teammates didn't like him or that he went too far or that his competitiveness came at a cost, but didn't break down when discussing the murder of his father. And that is not to suggest that it's not emotional. Like, he'd compartmentalized it. He had dealt with it. He clearly was emotional at the time. But just in terms of, like, how tough it was to penetrate Michael Jordan's inner circle, he had a teammate who hit clutch shots in the NBA Finals, who won his trust, who also had his father murdered, and they never spoke about it?
Yeah, Michael lived a different life than the rest of us out of necessity. He couldn't live that normal life. It was very difficult to reach him emotionally.
Did you ever discuss your father's?
We never discussed that. I think it was probably too painful for each of us.
That's kind of amazing. Like, there's not many people in anyone's life who could relate directly that specifically to that type of tragedy. He has someone on his team who can, and they never once discuss it. That's pretty remarkable.
I think it speaks to just how, you know, when you get to that level of mega star Michael Jordan got to, it's probably tough to be willing to share your thoughts with people. You're probably radically more guarded.
Yep.
Than mere mortals. And while you might, then again, I could see cigars and drinks one night when Jordan condescends and walks by the $1 poker game and finds Kerr, that maybe he doesn't pull him aside and have that conversation. But that I think that speaks to just how big Jordan was and how few he wanted to let in. And I don't fault a guy for that.
Yeah, it's not about fault. It's just like I was doing an interview earlier today when someone asked, like, what did we learn about Michael Jordan from this that we didn't already know? And I didn't think much because he didn't want this to be a full examination of Michael Jordan, right? His ex-wife not interviewed. His kids get like 10 seconds of airtime in the 10th episode.
Right.
Craig Hodges not included at all, who had been critical of Michael Jordan, which is just totally egregious. when telling the story of the 90s Bulls. Like the whole point wasn't to learn a whole lot new about Michael Jordan. It was to be entertained and relearn the story that he wanted told about Michael Jordan. But I did feel like that was fairly illuminating, that all of those years, how guarded he was, still never talked about it with a teammate who had had a same experience. I thought that was really powerful television last night. Yeah, I thought that was probably best pure television from the night.
It might have been. It was very good, and it was good to see Steve Kerr. I remembered I had a phone number for Steve Kerr, but it ain't Steve Kerr's number. I tried today. It's some guy with a southern accent who says, you got the wrong number. Unless it was Steve Kerr, he didn't want to talk to me, but I'm pretty sure that wasn't Steve Kerr. He'd probably at least tell me, no, I don't want to do anything today, Mac. Thanks for calling. Thanks for nothing. I don't think he'd put on a southern accent.
That would
but
be
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. But, again, the bigness of the Bulls was, I think, front and center in this thing. From start to finish, and even the bigness of the broadcasts, hearing Bob Costas' voice doing NBA games, or Marv Albert when he was the principal voice of the NBA, it just seemed like to me it had a big, and it wasn't just because of the Bulls, it was all that went with the NBA, with the star power of the 80s and 90s. I don't know, it's just... It was good to see it come back last night and see some of those. And see Reggie Miller. I'd forgotten how good Reggie Miller was against the Bulls. Shep's boy, as he's growing up in Coal City, wearing a Pacers 31 jersey.
God, I had visceral reactions last night to relive that game 4 when he tied it up and he hit the shot when he shoved off on Jordan. That game was what made me hate Reggie more than John Starks. Like, I remember being like, this guy... He's so talented, but he's such a trash talker, but he resorts to these flopping things, and he pushes off, and he kicks out his legs.
When I stopped referring to him as Michael Jordan, and I always refer to him either as Jordan, Black Jesus, or that black cat.
You know, Chicago's never going to go away. As long as that black cat's out there.
Yeah, this is a black cat.
The triple.
Triple black cat. Oh, Mac, at some point we have to discuss my last dance postgame show last night. 80 minutes, 1 3-minute commercial break, with a lot of callers who did not watch The Last Dance. It was it was worth exactly what I got paid to do it, let me tell you. It
Why
was
did you do 80 minutes? How did it go 80 minutes?
I was told, do at least an hour, and so I did an hour plus a 20-minute top of the hour
guys,
segment.
Mac, Danny's talking about how, he felt unsatisfied watching the last part of the documentary, but here's Danny coming out of the open yesterday.
Wow. That was awesome. Yes, and emotional and conflicting and nostalgic. And some damn good television. It's a good open.
Yes, you're spirited, yes.
What's wrong there, Tanny? What's conflicting there?
Seems like you liked it a lot.
I did like it a lot. It was just, I wanted that thing. It was called The Last Dance. And then they only get to
the breaking up
of the team. Checking my math, thank you. They only got to the breaking up of the team in the last 10-12 minutes of it. It was amazing television. I would watch bonus features, like extended interview cuts, the 11th episode. I'd subscribe to ESPN Plus if they gave me behind the scenes footage of it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I loved it. But do I think that they fully answered the question of why that team needed to be broken up in the way that they did? No. I thought, wow. Sure. That was awesome.
Period. Yeah, I see it. Each word gets its own sentence there. I feel you, Danny. Exactly.
Woof, 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 woof.
Hey, man, and I miss post-game radio. Like, I'm in my living room. The documentary ends at 9:59. Go into the bedroom, connect, and away we go. 10 o'clock on the numbers. No time to collect your thoughts. Just go. It's pure radio. I love post-game shows. Did you ever do post-game?
Not too often. Weekends Bulls Radio Network years and years ago, 89 to 91, I want to say, before I left the loop. And then 1 year doing Bears postgame at the Score with Murph. I did pregame with Buffon, I think, 3 years. There was 1 year, and then they had me do post with Murph, and I said, all right, can I please have Doug back 9 to noon? Yeah. Thank you. Keep your comments to 15 seconds. Oh, eat me.
Yeah, that'll
Thank
make
you very
fall
much.
Out
what was that, Baldy McPherson? What was that?
McGrindy.
McGrindy. Let's go to, okay, enough of the Gillette loser.
I want to get more calls in. Keep your comments to 15 seconds. Yeah, so we get asked when they're going to move Zorge to linebacker one more time.
Yeah, that'll make you quit post-game radio. But you know, it was a blast to do the show last night. I got to say, there's lots we have to get to today. Terry Bors at 4 o'clock, your response to the documentary, Michael McCaskey passing away, his legacy, and Mac's relationship with him and guys who had relationships with him should be fairly enlightening. And I don't know, we have to make a decision as a mob if we are buying the explanation for the flu game. We can get into that coming up. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's start right out. Hey, what happened?
I ate the pizza. All by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
This is a little bit of a fishy story. Welcome back in. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score with a segment brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy. Fed up with companies selling your data, DuckDuckGo is on it. They help millions of people like you take back their privacy online. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers all for free. DuckDuckGo Privacy Simplified. You buying George and Tim Grover and Michael Jordan's story that it was bad pizza at 10:30 at night?
They've been sticking to that story since it happened. Who knows? I have a tough time believing the hotel where the Bulls stay, where Michael Jordan is staying, can't put somebody on staff at 11:30 at night and give them something room service wise. Because they said they can only find one. I can believe in Utah, it's tough to find something open late. Because I went there both of those years, 97 and 97. They roll up the sidewalks early in Salt Lake City. But I have a tough time believing that, I don't know. It's possible. Something makes me giggle just hearing him talk about pizza, though. I ate the pizza. I was the only one who ate the pizza. 2:30
I ate the pizza. All by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
Eat the pizza.
He was talking about it like it was a conquest, like over Gary Payton. Like, I had no problem with the glove. I had no problem with the pizza.
Yeah, what self-respecting room full of guys lets one guy eat an entire pizza?
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
So his So his nutritionist trainer is suspicious of five dudes delivering some pizza to their dorm. Like, so
they have Jordan eat it.
So they have Jordan eat it.
Right.
Right. So like, so how does the pizza delivery people know that the pizza's for Jordan? How does it get to be five guys at Michael Jordan's door? They're suspicious of it, but they let Jordan eat it. No one else has any pizza. It's a full pizza the night before an NBA Finals game.
I eat the pizza. All by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
Robert Chief didn't have any. Luke, Ron Hopper, myself. I eat
George
pizza.
Carl didn't say hello to me at this restaurant. I eat the pizza.
I eat the pizza. All by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza. Brit.
That's so funny to me. Well, you know what? With our buddy Terry Bors, who's out at four today, he and I just said, "Hey, we absolutely believe it's possible." Michael had some bad pie. It's certainly possible. You know what? Would he?
Well,
brown bottle flu, some other intoxicant keeping him up.
Yeah, I mean,
to the wee hours. Sure, that's a possibility, but they forever have been clinging to this story, and they're never going to change their tune on it.
If someone poisoned Michael Jordan with pizza intentionally, would they send five guys to the room?
That's a great question. It looks a little suspicious
right?
When the Jersey Boys show up.
And
hey, Sal from Seacock is just here with his five-pack of delivery pals.
Yeah, and wouldn't someone have taken credit for it by now? Like,
yeah, we've talked to everyone around the 90s Bulls, and everyone's got their stories. It's amazing they couldn't find one of these five guys who was wearing a hazmat suit delivering a pizza.
Yeah, it's just so odd. Like, how has the name of the pizza place never come up in conversation? Two and two is not adding up to four here.
Shouldn't they have had a tester, a guinea pig tester, whatever, wherever Jordan was going to eat something, especially if it was commonplace for him to order food to have delivered to his hotel? Should they not have just had somebody on the staff to test everything to make sure it wasn't poisoned?
Oh, good point. Like Maximus Aurelius and Gladiator. When he thought he had the guy who would eat the slop before
all
the
food
magic.
Poisoning takes a couple hours though, and when you're hungry, you're going to eat the pizza. You ain't gonna wait until Rusty LaRue has cramps.
You got to have a fall guy in the crew.
Yes, where was Jordan's fall guy to eat this pizza? I'm willing to be lied to about a lot of things, but five dudes showing up in a hotel room to poison Michael Jordan's pizza and nobody else had a slice in an NBA Finals game at 10:30 at night. Too many questions. Sorry.
Amazing performance for a guy running on fumes, though. And just the sweat just pour out of every pore on his head early in that game. So obviously he was sick, and Pippen having to help him to the bench. There's your Scottie Pippen airtime you wanted last night. You want to see Pippen in short pants and a tank? He was helping Jordan when he was sick because he ate the pizza.
What a teammate. He ate the pizza.
I eat the pizza.
I eat the pizza. All by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
It's one of those incidents where, I wish it never happened.
The all by myself was real subtle there. Like, it was just me. It was me against the pizza, and I won. I mean, obviously. Yeah. Well, I ate all by myself.
Something about Jordan doing a list of names, and it all went back to when he misspoke one time and called Robert Parrish. He fused Robert Parrish with his nickname, Chief, and he called him Robert Chief, and it was about the fourth name in a sequence. And from then on out, anytime Jordan does a list of names, I think of that, and I just get the biggest kick out of it. And then he says, myself. And, Sherry and I recently watched Shawshank Redemption, and we couldn't help but notice 1994, younger Morgan Freeman looks a little bit like Jordan. So I was doing Jordan talking about the guys who were at Shawshank. Captain Hadley, myself, Robert Chief, Floyd, Brooks Hadley,
Red
Library, Red.
Knew how to get things. Sure, that's a very narrow comedy arc that you just created there. Like,
I'd get a kick out of it.
Oh, keep it coming, Tanny. Fred Willard!
That one hit you hard, didn't it?
Ah, yeah. We've had a lot of them, man. This is This is our ninth week of doing shows from home. Quarantine day 41. I love Brian Piccolo and John Lackey. But we've had so many eulogies to do, probably affected the most by Ed Farmer. We've had Glenn Beckert, who said goodbye to Jim Fry, John Prine, the local musician from Maywood, the Maywood mailman. And now comes celebrity comedic actor Fred Willard at the age of 86, who had the unique ability to be in a movie for such very little snippets, and just he's the guy you think of when you think of that movie, because his scenes are so hysterical. His comedic timing was brilliant. And he stayed healthy for a long time and worked a long time. That's a life well-lived, Fred
Let's
Willard.
Start right out. Hey, what happened? As you know, back in 1970, Let's start right out. Hey, what happened?
Oh, man. Yeah, we have done it. It reminds me of the Bob Brenly line about birthdays. It seems like someone's having a birthday every day. It seems like someone's dying almost every day. There have been quite a few of the eulogies on this show, but 86 years old, and when you can span that many generations and that many different comedic iterations, like you said, a life well lived, and the judge someone by their tributes. I felt like everyone was coming out for Fred Willard. Like, no one disliked Fred Willard. Like, what could you possibly have bad to say about the man?
Well, there's this, and I got a kick out of it. I get a kick out of it.
I'm asking the wrong guy.
Yeah. He was arrested, 7 or 8 years ago for slapping Frankie in a theater.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
I'd get a kick out of it.
I'd get a kick out of it.
Oh, yeah. My God. I did not know that.
Yeah. Google Fred Willard.
Okay.
Yeah, and you'll find him arrested.
It's not something I normally Google, but
it was right after he got the deal. He had just
Thank you, Mac, for saying the word just in a different funny voice. I still had to dump out of that one. Thank you very much.
That was Jordan Freeman saying it that way, Danny. Come on.
Characters. Mac had plenty of characters.
I thought it was going to work. I thought you were going to slip that right by Chris Tannehill.
Yeah, didn't make it.
Yeah, you took a shot. It's okay. But, all right, so you are on board that it was bad pizza.
Not
pizza
really.
Or the field?
I'd probably go field, but I wouldn't be willing. I don't think it's an impossibility.
I don't think it's an impossibility either, but pizza or the field, you're going field. I'm going field. Tanny?
There's a lot of people. It's, you know, it's one thing I know about conspiracies is people can't keep their mouth shut. Someone's going to break on this, especially 20 years later. I'm going to say that it's true, that it was bad pizza.
He ate the pizza.
And it, you know, if these guys are all tight with Jordan, no one wants to rock the boat there. So if M. Jeff says, hey, I'm going to eat this pizza by myself, you can't have any. We know what he said to Horace Grant, took his food away. So I would totally believe Jordan sitting there eating an entire pizza and everyone's sitting around and watching.
Well, they were just sitting around him at the piano like he was a
that
pianist.
That was great. How great was the piano scene?
Yeah. That was probably the best uncovered like footage of this whole thing. Like, why is he sitting at a piano? He doesn't play the piano.
No, he doesn't. But yeah, well, you never know. He sits at it and magic things happen. I don't know. You said you didn't really learn much about Jordan. Do you like him a little less for some things? Do you find some of his behaviors to be the things that you don't admire? We saw some things that are not admirable qualities. Tanny just mentioned one, taking a guy's food away. Literally. He deprived him of nutrient. You don't do that to Ho.
We'll get into that. Like, if you like Jordan any less, it didn't bother me in the least. It's Mac and Parkins on the score.
Enjoy yourself, dog. You. Y'all gave us the room for our money.
Yeah. I'll see you.
All right, take care. Thank you. Work on that golf game of yours.
Michael Jordan. F-U, B-word, Larry Bird, right after knocking him out in 7 games. That's not going to make me like him less. Guys talking to their friends like that.
That way. Well, I mean, Bird fired the first salvo as soon as he walked up. He dropped an F-bomb in his face. He called him one, I believe, right out of the chute as soon as they saw each other after they dispatched the Pacers.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Yeah. Jordan always, he would just go to golf so quickly, too. Like, we just eliminated you. Hey, go work on your golf game.
Yeah, go play golf.
They'd get out of the stadium early. It's like, ah, it's still light out. You get some golf swings in. Like, Michael Jordan, kind of obsessed with golf. No, I didn't like him any less. Though I will say, people are directing me to this story that Jason Hare told on your guy Dan Patrick's show today. Backstory to the flu game, that Michael Jordan spit on the pizza so no one else would have any. That makes
there you have it.
I mean, that makes me like him less. What a psycho! Like,
I was
just
hungry.
Ordered two pizzas.
Was just one pizza. I wanted the pizza.
Pepperoni.
I spat on the pizza. The pepperoni. The green pepper. Onions. Myself.
Robert Chief.
What a weird thing.
Yeah.
Like, you could afford two pizzas, Mike. Why do you need to spit on the pizza?
They would have had to bring 10 guys for that.
Yeah, what is happening? Can we see if we can find that audio, please, of the explanation of spitting on pizza? That is ludicrous to me. But, all right.
That will keep like people out of your pizza. That'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. Did you find yourself liking him less? Because I didn't feel like I learned a lot Michael Jordan here.
Reminded. I think people sometimes can let their competitive edge become an unhealthy obsession. And just being reminded of that. And I think that, you know, there was balance provided. And when he said, I don't remember which episode, I don't have all of the comments committed to memory, as I do in True Detective Season 1. But he said, I never asked of a teammate what I wouldn't do of myself. Anything I asked of somebody, and that much was true. That much he had a willingness. And being reminded, too, of how guys were selfish and left it on him. Like Pippen getting the surgery before the season begins. Like Rodman going to a wrestling thing last night during the NBA Finals and blowing off a practice. You know, that he had to deal with that. I guess it makes it maybe a little bit more, a little easier for me to swallow. But I wish for, you know, anybody's own sanity that they not need so many gold medals that they, you know, they just keep it doesn't seem like they ever can fill some hole that drives them to the point where it keeps them from being happy. And I think In some instances, I got that impression with Jordan over the years that it wasn't always a lot of fun. That, yeah, the success was global. It was enormous. He's made fortunes and fortunes and an incredible life. But was there ever did the joy ever even come close to living up to what you might expect it to? It doesn't seem like it for him.
No, it doesn't. That doesn't make me like him less, though, because that's just him. Like
if it makes you toxic, if you have a toxic effect from time to time as a result of it, I think that can be off-putting.
It definitely can. The results spoke for themselves, and I think that was where he prioritized it. And as a fan of the Bulls, I was glad that he prioritized it that way, right? Like, I'm coming at it from the perspective of, like, you ask, do I like him less? Well, he won 6 titles.
Yeah.
He was this transformational, larger-than-life figure that put Chicago on the map globally in a different type of way than it already was. He took my favorite sport, as David Stern said, and put it in every country around the world. Like, it was just, he was the biggest thing in the world, and he was on my team. And so behind the scenes, his teammates didn't like him or he wasn't personally happy. 12-year-old me, like, selfishly was just like, man, I love watching this guy play basketball and he won
understand.
For my team.
I gotcha. You know? Yeah, and I'm the one who always is selling the idea that great leaders have to be willing to be unpopular. So with that comes some resistance from time to time. I get it. Yeah, the 6 titles, absolutely. You'd trade all of it for him.
Terry Bohr's
a trade.
Yeah, you wouldn't trade all of it, right? You just, okay, that was what they needed to do to get there, and it was worth it because the results spoke to it. Speaking of an unpopular leader, Mike McCaskey passed away. You said there's tie-ins to the Bulls, and you lived through this era in a way that Shep, Tanny, and I didn't, and I'm curious your perspective on I read Dan Pompey, Hub Arkish, everybody, they all say complicated legacy. I want your perspective on that coming up on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.